Last week, I talked about the way in which we often find ourselves having to wait for the resurrection, and how hard, but how necessary it is to wait with trust and with hope for the promised life to come. This week, as Jesus launches us into Holy Week, I want us to think about the way in which sometimes that waiting takes the form of action, calling us to actively resist forces of injustice, death, and deceit in the name of the good news of God in Christ. Now, up to now, Jesus' ministry was political in the sense that his teaching and his community building and his miracle working had implications about who exercised power in what ways. But he was not launching protests, actively confronting the political establishment, not like, say, John the Baptist was. Today, though, Jesus does something quite different. Today, Jesus does mount a demonstration, a bit of dramatic, intentional political theater that declares his opposition to empire in clear and certain terms. At least clear and certain if you are familiar with both messianic imagery of the Hebrew Bible and imperial imagery of first century Rome. And you might have heard some of these explanations for what Jesus was doing as he entered Jerusalem before. Jesus claims Zechariah's prophecy for himself. The prophet promised that the king would enter Jerusalem, a humble king riding on a donkey. And Jesus claims this for himself, revealing himself to be the anointed heir to David's throne, the true and holy king God's people have been waiting for. And Matthew, our evangelist, as is often his goal, wants to make this link to Jesus' action and the prophecy very clear, so he makes even the poetry of Zechariah concrete. Your king is coming to you humble and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the donkey's offspring. And so Matthew tells us that Jesus enters Jerusalem on a donkey and maybe also a colt. The poetic made visible, the prophecy made true, bringing wholeness and salvation in the name of God, heralded by crowds waving what they have at hand, branches and cloaks, in total disarray, an absurd motley crew. A little familiar. And now perhaps you are also familiar with the idea put forward by two preeminent members of historical Jesus scholarship movement, John Dominican Cross and Marcus Borg. They tell us that Jesus arranged his entry at that time and in that place very intentionally across the city from another piece of dramatic political theater, from the place where the Roman governor would enter Jerusalem. Pilate, in contrast to Jesus, enters the city on a war horse, accompanied not by crowds of ragtag folks waving whatever they had at hand, but by troops and heraldry, the pomp and power of the Roman Empire, entering to demand obedience and tribute from an occupied people, specifically on this holy week of Passover. This week when the people remember that they have been liberated by God, Rome enters and makes itself known. You can picture those two parades heading across the city towards each other, towards the confrontation coming on Good Friday. One seemingly weak, but actually strong, rooted in truth and love and compassion. The other seemingly strong, but actually weak. Rotten at its core, reliant on force and falsehood and fear. And it is in this way that Jesus begins his final journey to the cross, declaring God's promise with clarity and conviction and courage. Because sometimes that is what waiting for the resurrection requires of us. Clarity and conviction and courage in the face of that which we know to be wrong, which we know to be a perversion of the good news of God in Christ. And I think this is what is required of us now, as Christians living in a time when the Christian faith is being named as source material and motivation for self-serving hatefulness, bigotry, and violence. Now, of course, such an abuse of Christianity is not new. It is a besetting sin of humanity, this temptation to dress up our desire for power in religion, to claim God's blessing on our evil acts and call down God's condemnation on any we see as opposing us. And while it is certainly not a sin that is unique to those who call themselves Christian, as a Christian, that's who I'm worried about today. Over and over, Christians have gotten lost and found themselves across Jerusalem, entering the city not with Jesus on a donkey, but with Pilate on the war horse. But this lack of originality or uniqueness does not make it any less dangerous or any less wrong. So let us be clear. Christian nationalism, the idea that the United States or Canada or any other country was or is or should be the particular preserve of Christianity, is a corruption of our faith. It claims to put Jesus at the heart of politics, while actually it reduces Jesus to a political strategy for the preservation of power to which only some are entitled. It creates in-groups and out-groups, and it does so in the name of one who rejected all such distinctions. It justifies violence, and it does so in the name of one who brought peace. It uses Scripture as a simplistic and self-serving rule book, and it does so in the name of one who rejected legalism and literalism in favor of life-giving compassion and the law of love. It claims the right to rule in the name of one who claimed only the gift of servanthood. It deals death. It deals death in the name of one who came that the whole world, might have abundant life. And as Christians, it is our responsibility to stand against this corruption of our faith, to proclaim with clarity and conviction and courage that this is not the gospel of Jesus as has been revealed to us, not the way in which Jesus calls us to live. This needs to be both an act of resistance, of refusing to allow these distortions of Christian teaching to be used in defense of political ideologies, of refusing to give our money and our time and our ears to the media that supports it. And it needs to be a positive act, in which we explicitly name the ways in which Jesus leads us to seek the well-being of those who are vulnerable, the inclusion of those who are rejected, the embrace of those who are different. And I know this is uncomfortable work. This is part of what it means today to take up our cross and follow Jesus. To have the hard conversations, even with people we love very much. To find ways to proclaim in word, as well as deed, the good news of God in Christ. Because if we do not do it, our silence is too easily misconstrued as agreement. And that has consequences that are even worse. Consequences for the world Jesus came to save, and consequences for the faith that we are tasked with passing down to future generations. So as we journey with Jesus in this week, let us hold fast to what we know to be true. Let us walk with Jesus with clarity and conviction and courage. Our King comes not on a war horse, but on a donkey. He comes to bring healing, not to demand tribute. He is headed not for a throne, but for a cross. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Let us take up our cross and follow him.